Well, we thank God tonight for salvation. I tell you folks, sometimes a song says something to me. I don't think I've ever sung that song before. Well, I know I haven't. It inspires a sense of humility and nothingness. The song title itself said, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And it seemed like Isaac Watts took a little survey. And when you and I survey what the cost of our salvation is and the depths and the commitment that was in Jesus Christ and God the Father, the beauty, the holiness, the princely King of Kings, Lord of Lords, paying everything he had that you and me might be saved, it causes me to tremble. It causes me to shudder at such a great price paid for me and what the responsibility that is mine now because of that debt. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. I think this song is, I believe, a few hundred years old. I'm not sure. I believe Isaac Watts wrote 1800s. Listen to the verbiage. I pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to the blood. I think of that. I thought that price on Calvary should charm us more than anything else. The vain things, the things that we perhaps enjoy or would enjoy, sacrifice them for a glorious, glorious price of salvation. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. It would probably be easier for some people, for some of us, to recompense the Lord monetarily or in land or properties of some kind. But all of that would not hold any reception at the throne of grace. He demands and expects our all, our heart, our soul, my life, he said, in my all, the songwriter. And that's the price that you and I must and should pay for such a great love. When we survey the cross, I think about that in poor contempt on all my pride. Everything that I would boast in, everything that I would trust in, anything that I would have any reason whatsoever to glory in, just pour contempt on that. Thank the Lord for that song. That really gets my mind a buzz, thinking about all that God did for me and all his love, his salvation. Last day or two, I heard a scripture quoted, and that too got my mind to thinking. And seemed like the Lord gave us a little message, some thoughts on it. The scripture is found in John, the second chapter, in the first verse, first five verses. And the third day, this is John 2 and 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And my little thought tonight is, whatsoever the Lord says unto you, whatsoever the Lord says unto us, whatsoever the Lord commands, whatsoever the Lord teaches, whatsoever and howsoever the Lord guides and leads and directs, in every way and in everything you and me know the will of God. Whatsoever he saith, do it. That's my little message tonight, is let's do it. A lot of times in life, you and me want to question commands. We want to look on them and put them off even. Sometimes we have what we call a deaf ear, and we turn that deaf ear. I knew a lady one time. I liked the lady. She was a nice lady. Gracious. She was hard of hearing, and she wore a hearing aid. And it appeared that when things got to the point that she wasn't enjoying the conversation, she had a real knack for just reaching up here and twiddling with her ear a little bit, and she could absolutely turn you out. And maybe that was good. I don't know. But we sometimes in life, we also find things that are maybe not pleasant, or we don't understand, or we think we ought to know everything, and we kind of turn a deaf ear to God even. But Mary, the mother of Christ, told the servants there, said, whatsoever, in everything he says, regardless of what he says, whatsoever means in just that, in all that he says, whatever commands he's given. One songwriter said, every word thy mouth has spoken is essential to our life. Everything the Lord is, every command we read, the precepts of the Word of God, the instructions of righteousness, whatever it is, do it. You know, it's a safety there. There's strength there. And this word, do it, is pretty much the same in the Greek as it is where we would say it. It means to put it into practice. It means to carry it out. In other words, Mary said to the servants, she said, whatever the Lord, my son, says for you to do, carry it out. Put your hands to it. Put your back to it. Put your mind to it. Put your knees to it. Discipline yourself. Say yes to the Lord and no to those things he's telling you to put aside. To obey him. It means to carry it out. To execute it. It means to keep it. A lot of times the Lord has commanded us for things to keep in our hearts. Things that God wants us to hide away with him. So the Lord speaks, and the Lord gives instructions. And a lot of times it's not for you and me to know completely why. So it's going to take faith to do it. It's going to take trust to do it. It's going to take love to do it. It's going to take the Spirit of God to do it. It's going to take a devotion to him to do it. It's going to take a knowledge that whatever the Lord commands and instructs you and me to do in his word and through his spirit is good for me. It's going to take a knowledge that even though it may seem to me fearful, it may seem something that's unnecessary, maybe it's something that I have allowed myself to believe that whatever God comes to me and instructs me in, I need to do it because it's the right thing. And every time we do the right thing, you know it's a blessing in it, and it's accepted of God. And I don't know of anything better than to be accepted by God. So as you and I from time to time read the Word, as we know the will of God, as we receive instructions from the Holy One, let's obey what the Word said, or let's follow after what Mary told the servants to do, and that was to do it. She was speaking to the servants, and I don't know the chain of command in that household, but I'll say this much for a servant. They are expected to obey. I believe when the Lord looks at us, we are His servants. We are His children. We are joint heirs with His Son. And Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. So I believe it's the duty of a servant to do it. It's the duty of a servant to execute it. It was the duty of those servants there in that place to obey whatever Jesus told them to do. It's our duty to do it in life. It's going to come sometimes at a cost. Sometimes I'm not going to understand. But I was so happy tonight that the benefits of obedience, the benefits of putting into practice in my life, my heart, my words, the very actions of our life has benefits far beyond any of us can ever tell. And it goes without saying. So the Lord speaks to us, and He commands us. I have found then that there's a safety in doing what the Lord says. There's a strength in doing what the Lord says. There's a joy and there's a happiness in obedience to God. Over in Luke, the 6th chapter, one of the maladies, I think, of humanity, and I'm blessed with it or cursed with it, however you want to say it, and my mother caught on to it very early in my childhood. She'd give me a command, Stanley, do something, or in other words, do it. Well, I'd procrastinate, shuffle my feet, after a while, the tone of my mother would change, and I knew that I was going to have to give some explanations or start doing something. And I would say something sometimes, I remember saying this, sometimes I'd say to her, she'd say, and I'd say, I'm fixing to. She'd look at me and she'd say, Stanley, what have you got to fix? The argument at that point was over. It was either do it or the consequences would be my responsibility. You know, there's something about us that we will say, I'm fixing to, or I'm going to, or I plan on it. Oh, yeah, I want to do that. I really do. And we put it off. Sometimes it's put it off inadvertently. Sometimes I'm not saying we're dishonest, but we have to be very careful. As the Lord speaks to us, I was not wanting to do what my mother told me to do. Maybe it was wash the dishes. Maybe it was dry the dishes. Maybe it was sweep the floor. Every Saturday morning my job was to dust the house, you know, and I really didn't like that. And maybe it was something like that, and she would say, Stanley, do it. Matt, second time she'd say that, I'd say, well, I'm fixing to. And she'd say, well, what do you got to fix? You know, let's get it repaired and get it taken care of. I have told you something to do, and I expect you to carry it out. But there's something about us that we want to put off and procrastinate. We want to maybe not pay attention. And why? Because there is something, one, it can be unpleasant. For a young boy, more content on climbing a tree or something, washing dishes was not really something on my high priority list. Or getting up on Saturday mornings and knowing I had to get the dust rag and the whatever it was pledged back in those days out and go around the house dusting. I promise you, I had things on a higher list of priorities in doing that, but it was still my job. So it can be, if we're not careful, God has given us commands to do things, but in our list of priorities, we have not allowed the word and the command and the instructions of the Lord to receive top priority in our life. All these other things that we prioritize, sometimes at the expense of doing what the Lord has commanded us to do, they're all going to stay here. None of them are going to go to heaven, and none of them will be stars in our crown, and none of them will bring a smile to the face of the Lord if we have put it ahead of what the Lord has told us to do. So we need to be careful of that, that we not let something stand in the way and say, well, I'm fixing to, or I'm getting ready, or I'm going to. Also, we can use those kind of things as a hoping the Lord will some way or another buy into our little bit of deceit. I speak not to anyone, but generally. We sometimes deceive ourselves and we play a little game of deceit with the Lord. I'm going to tell him I'm going to, but I don't want to, but to get him to keep telling me to do it, I'm going to tell him I'm going to do it. And the first thing you know, we have kind of weaved a web there that we can't get ourselves out of, because what the Lord asked us to do was something that went against the flesh. It was contrary to my opinion, contrary to my comfort, contrary to the thing that I was trusting in, more than trusting in God. But the command was, and the instruction is, do it. And, you know, really, I don't mean this unkind at all, because I find myself here, but the command to do it is rather self-explanatory. Take that, whatever is over there, say there's a wheelbarrow there, and roll that wheelbarrow over there. Do it. Now, we don't have to have a lot of instructions. What we need to do is go over there and put our hand on the wheelbarrow, pick up on those two handles, and start walking. But maybe we don't want to. Maybe it's hot outside. Maybe it's raining outside. Maybe I've just changed clothes and get it and go somewhere. Maybe there's someone else standing by and I think, well, they ought to do it. But the Lord looks at us and says, do it. He told Peter, when Peter started looking around at John, and Peter didn't like necessarily the prophecy concerning his life and the end of his life, and he, instead of saying, well, Lord, be with me and help me through that time, and he said, well, what about this fella? And that's a common malady we have. The Lord wants us, going back to my little wheelbarrow, to pick up the wheelbarrow and push it, instead of trying to find another avenue of escape. Over in Luke, the 6th chapter and the 47th and the 48th verse, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you unto whom he is like. If this is a, I want to identify to you the characteristics of a person that does it, that hears my word and that hears my instructions and does it, that puts it into practice. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep. And he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So there's safety in doing what the Lord commands us to do. As God teaches us, do it. There's a purpose in it. I know that there is something about most of us, or some of us, we want to know why. Yeah, children, you know. Johnny, go clean up your room. Why? Well, with children, sometimes we try to reason with them. But, you know, they're not really wanting to do it to begin with. Finally, you get their attention and you say, because I said so. Sometimes that alleviates their argument, let alone. We need to recognize that God is not obligated, and we're going to touch on this concerning faith in a moment. God is not obligated to give us a piece of paper with all the reasons why on it. We don't know all the commands the Lord gives us and the specifics of it. And that's really not our duty or our responsibility. If God chooses to instruct us as to why, then that's well. If God chooses not to instruct us in why we're to do something, then that's well also. Faith and trust. He said that there's going to be storms in life. And he wants to give us a foundation. He wants to give us a rock to build on that will, when the storms beat vehemently, and this word, I'm glad he put that word in there because to me, it denotes how fierce things can happen to us, how terrible life can assault you and me, and how firm a foundation you and I need and must have if we're going to withstand the assault of the devil, the attack of the enemy, that if we're going to be able to rise above our own fears and our own fleshly feelings and instincts, that there's going to be a tremendous battle. The kingdom of heaven suffereth real violence, he said, or suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's gotten possessed by men who obey the Lord and pour contempt on their own way, pour contempt on their own thinking process at the cost of not obeying God, then I hold that in contempt because God's way is best, and I'll not murmur by his grace. And he said, I'll show you what he's like. This man who does what the Lord says do. He's like a man that built a house and he wanted it to withstand the vehemence of the storm, of the flood. As men, as people who God has ordained to be the husband, the father, we want a home that will withstand the flood. Men, let you and me learn obedience to God. We're not going to understand it. And we're going to have to take some of our pride, or maybe all of our pride, if you will, and put it under obedience to God. Sometimes for a man, that's hard to think that, well, can't anyone tell me what to do? Well, someone better be able to tell us what to do. Because if I have to tell myself what to do, uh-oh, it's going to be trouble down the road somewhere. The storm, I can plan for the worst of storms, and a bigger storm is going to come along. We can plan for the worst-case scenario, and that may never happen. Something we didn't even plan on will happen, and we'll not be able to stand it. But who's going to be able to withstand it? It's the man who hears and understands and obeys the commands of the Lord, who hears his sayings and doesn't discount them, who hears his sayings and does them. Mary said, do it. Oh, wonder how much peace we lose because we don't do it. I wonder what we forfeit in the way of blessings because we excuse not doing it. I wonder what we forfeit as the church because more of the, how shall I say it without, I don't want to sound intimidated or anything. What do we forfeit because they're not more willing to do it? Just think about it. His commands, his word, his instructions. He said, I'll show you what he's like. And when the storm was cleared away, when the storm was over with, the house was still standing. And we admire that. And we look on that and say, that's what I want. Are we willing to pay the price to receive that? Are we willing to turn the other cheek? Are we willing to love our enemies? Are we willing to do those things he said do? So when the storms beat and when they subside, we can still be standing, not have fainted. He said, the man who does the will of God, who hears this and does what he says, that's the man, that's the woman that's going to be standing when all this is over with. Said he could not shake it. That's quite a statement. Most any storm will shake a building, whether it tears it up or not. For it was founded on a rock. That rock is Christ. That rock is obedience to Christ. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Shame and disgrace, embarrassment, and in the end, eternal torment. Why? Because someone didn't want to obey. The specifications for the house were such that you needed to dig down and get on the rock. Build your foundation up from the rock. Because there's going to be real severe storms. That's the specs. That's the building code for this building. It's the only one that will be able to withstand. Someone said, I don't want to take the time. I don't want to take the effort. I don't like the cost involved in that. It's going to cost me more than I want to pay, but I sure want a pretty house. So they say, well, I'll forego the foundation. It hadn't rained here in a long time, and that creek never will come up this high. So they go out there with a bulldozer, and they scrape off the top of the earth, and they pour a little slab, and they build a beautiful structure. At least they think it's beautiful. But when it's lying in ruins because of disobedience, when it's lying in the rubble of sin because of disobedience, it's not so pretty at that point. You know, beauty is something that man's values so highly. People in the world especially, it's emphasized. Things are advertised with beauty. Trying to associate that product with, you know, if you buy that motor oil, you'll be pretty like the model, you know, or something like it. It's just really, we equate things with beauty. But folks, disobedience will mar that beauty. It'll bring sickness and disease. It'll bring shame. It'll bring disgrace. There won't be character in that quote-unquote beauty. There won't be holiness in that. And underneath that beauty will be something that is not lasting. And when the storms attack life or attack a home or attack a marriage, that beauty is not going to withstand because it doesn't have a foundation. We must do what the Lord said in order to build on this foundation. We can't go out at our own charge and scrape off the ground and throw some concrete on the ground and really work superficially on the outside and get the latest millwork on the inside and think that we've got something now that'll last. We've got to obey the Lord. May the Lord help us to believe that. So, the little word tonight, words are, do it. He gives us an example of those who do and those who don't. Over in Matthew, the 21st chapter, he speaks to us again about doing it or not doing it. And Matthew 21 and 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. You know, every child of God has come to that place. I will not do it. I know I shouldn't think that way, but I'm going to do it anyway. Every child of God, I should have said it this way, before conversion, has come to a place where they've told God, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. This young man was commanded of his father, go and work in my vineyard. A young man might have thought, it's hot. There's snakes out there. I've got a date. I always get this job. And the grapes, some of them fall on the ground and they squash between my toes. And just on and on. And I really wanted to go to town today. I'm just not going to do it. But afterwards, he got to thinking of it. He realized he had made a mistake. And he repented. You know, every one of us to some degree was this young man right here. If we're saved tonight, we was this young man some way or another. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Well, he lied. But he father felt like, well, I'll appease though my father. I'll just get him off my back, because I know if I say no, he's going to say why. Then he's going to say, well, that's not an excuse. Go anyway. I'd say, well, I'm fixing to go. And he'd say, well, son, what do you got to fix? All you got to do is start walking the vineyard south of here. So rather than all of that, I'll just say, Dad, I'll go. Well, Dad will go on, and then I'll go to town. A lot of times, I guess, people think they can do God that way. Then he said, whether the twain did the will of the Father? Well, it was obvious to them, and they said the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publican and the harlot go into the kingdom of God before you. They repented. We've all probably at some point said no to do what to do, no to what God told us to do. But when we repented and humbled ourselves, he accepted that through the blood of Christ. Now, he didn't say, one place he said, go and sin no more. In other words, don't just keep on doing that. Sectism teaches that you disobey, you don't do it, then you repent, and then you're okay, then tomorrow you do the same thing, and finally you work God around to where he gets you in heaven, and you really hadn't done what he wanted you to do the whole time you was down here on earth. That's not what God is after. Not what God is expecting. He's expecting us to do it. He's expecting us to obey him. But there comes a place in every man's life where they've got to realize, I need to repent because I didn't do it. This young man repented. And then he went to work in the vineyard. He didn't repent and then come up with another day excuse, another day's reasoning why not to do it. But the story is he went and did it. So if you found yourselves, and we all have as a sinner at one point in our life, where we were not willing, where we were disobedient, repent of that if you have not. And then go do it. God will accept that. God will not hold your sins against you and your disobedience against you if we repent and then go. But it's not repent and then not go and then repent tomorrow for not going yesterday and then not go today because I'll try this again. So the young man, he repented, and then he went. And it was obvious which one did the right thing. The harlots, the publicans, the sinners, the outcast, they recognized their needs. The hypocrisy of the echelon of the leaders, they didn't recognize their needs. And they never repented, but they was always saying, I'm doing the Lord's will. Paul did that. He thought he was doing God's will. But the good news is Paul repented of it. So may the Lord help us tonight. If we have found ourselves in disobedience, repent. Repent. We understand that word. Repent. And then go do it. Over in Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 4th and the 6th verse, we live and walk by faith, not by sight. And the just shall live by faith. And faith supersedes what we see and feel and touch with our hands. Some of us are practical people. Show me, and I'll do it. Show me, and I'll understand it. But we have the Missouri, that's their slogan, the show me state. Well, some of us have the Missouri attitude. If you're from Missouri, I'm not talking about you. Show me, and then I'll do it. God wants us to walk by faith. God wants us to be on our post of duty when he comes if he's never explained why we're at our post of duty. Over in Luke, the 5th chapter, the 4th and 6th verse. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, I'm kind of picking this up in the midway, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, we're going to stop the story right here. Human reasoning, human thinking. What's the use? I have toiled, I have labored, I have given, I have made whatever sacrifices. My hands, look at the calluses on my hands. Look at the effort, and besides that, I'm tired. And every time we pull the net in, there's no fish. There's no fish. I'm ready to go home. I'm sleepy. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. Peter was married. He wanted to go see his wife. And maybe she had told him to come home at a certain time. Simon answered and said, we have toiled all night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. God help us to have faith. Faith in what God commands us to do. Did you remember the scripture that said, your labor is not in vain? And sometimes we look at what we're doing or what God requires of us that tells us to do it, and we say, what's the use? What's the profit in it? Folks, it's profit if we obey. Really, it goes beyond this in many ways, but the profit is in obedience. It's the profit right then is accounted to us when we obey. If what God tells us to do, and if He explains what He wants us to do, and the reasons why, the real reward to us is in obedience. Now, if at the end of our obedience to God in a certain matter, whatever it may be, if it doesn't work out the way the Lord wanted it to work out because the people or the other influences would not yield to Him, does that mean we've lost? No. We won the minute we went to work. The minute we went into the vineyard. And you're going to cry judgment to them, and you're going to plead with them, and you're going to warn them. And by the way, Ezekiel, they're not going to listen to you. When Ezekiel went, he got his reward. And it was accounted to him as if the whole city got saved because he obeyed God. Folks, that's the duty of a servant. A servant is to obey. We're not to ask the good man of the house, for why? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine someone working for a corporation and one of the management comes by and gives a command or gives an order? And every time that order or that directive is given, the people under him or her come and look up and say, why we got to do that? I want to tell you something. I know enough about the business world. Enough of that. And after a while, that person that says why and questions all the time, they would find themselves moved out of the way. May I say to us, when you and I do not understand how to take a direct order from God, we'll move ourselves out of the way. God won't cast us out. I'm not saying that. But folks, if we don't enjoy the commands of the Lord, I don't mean physically we're going to say, this is great, but in our heart is not rejoicing in obedience to the Lord, we're going to move ourselves. I contend that rarely will any of us just continue to stay in such a bad situation. We'll remove ourselves from that. Nevertheless, Lord, all the evidence says the fish are somewhere else. They didn't have depth finders in those days. They didn't have fish finders. But they had thrown nets and thrown nets and thrown nets, and there wasn't any fish. There wasn't any fish. But nevertheless, at your word, Lord, I'm going to throw it out. And guess what? They had a big load of fish to drag in. The little ship they was in started to keel over. And they started howling for, "Hey, come help us. Get these fish in. We got more than we can handle here." And then I believe they recognized Jesus. May we recognize the Lord in His commands. So the command is quite simple to understand, but I confess it's not always quite simple to carry out. Why do we need the Holy Ghost? So you'll be endued with power from on high. Why do we need the Holy Ghost? Because my strength and my character and my spirit of myself is not enough. I'll select what I want to obey and what I don't want to obey. That's human nature, folks. And without the Spirit and the nature of Christ and God in us, we'll continue on selecting. Well, God said this, but I don't really want to do that. God said, do this. Oh, I like that. Now, that'll be all right. And I'll do that. To have power to say yes to that hard thing and not walk away as those men of old, they walked no more with Him because it was a hard saying. And Christ didn't deny it was a hard saying, but it was a hard saying that God had commanded. And they walked no more with Him. For you and me to say yes when the Lord says do it, go through that valley of affliction. But Lord, couldn't I want you to go through that valley? But Lord, I'm afraid. I want you to go through that valley. I'll be with you. Go through that valley. I'm going to need the Holy Ghost. I'm going to need power from on high. It's just, I said affliction. It could be anything. I want you to dig a little deeper because the rock is a little deeper down than you thought. But I'm tired and my back hurts and I've put forth a lot of effort already. Surely this is deep enough. Dig a little deeper. We're going to need power because the flesh is going to say, that's enough. I quit. I'm not going to dig any deeper. The flesh, the Spirit, see, is willing. But unless we are empowered by His Spirit, it's not going to be enough. One scripture that you know well is found over in James. First chapter and the 22nd verse. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Tell you what, it's embarrassing to get deceived. It really is. But to deceive your own self, that looks like a double whammy on you, on me or you, whoever. To say, yes, I'm doing the will of the Lord, and all the time not doing it, and then come up to the judgment and say, I never knew you. So he said, be a doer of the word. Now, that's self-explanatory. Thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, turn the other cheek, etc. All the things the Lord has commanded in His word. Love your enemies. Do good. Whatever the Lord has commanded. We understand, do that. So now my enemy comes along and withstands me to my face. Lord, help me. The command is to love that person. Feel sorry for them. Empathize with them. Pray for them. I understand that. Now, he said, be a doer of that. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I like a lot of things about the Bible, but the Bible doesn't sugarcoat man's disposition. God knows us so well, and those who wrote the Word of God and printed it for us by inspiration, They wrote it like God gave it to them, I believe. And God knew that he had talked to us. We'd turn and maybe even say, I'm going to do just that. You're right, Lord. I hadn't thought about it that way. Yes, amen. Start on our little journey and just absolutely forget. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Praise God. What a blessing eternal life will be. But here, what a blessing obedience can be. What a blessing it is to know he's saying to us tonight, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I gave you a command and you did it. I didn't get a lot of back talk. I didn't get a lot of moaning and complaining and crying and all this. You humbled yourself and you asked me for the grace and the help that you would need to do it, and then you did it. You're blessed. You know, folks, we can't purchase that at any cost other than through obedience. So to be a doer of the work is a man who is or a person that is blessed. And his deeds will be accounted to his credit in eternal life. It won't procure eternal life. I don't mean that. But in eternity, it will be recorded. Obedience. Obedience and obedience. So I'd like to encourage us tonight, whatsoever Christ tells us to do, let's do it.